text for this morning's meditation is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they have none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no good, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the form of this world is passing away. The great English playwright and author William Shakespeare wrote the following lines about life in the play As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely play. In the seventh chapter of his first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul injects a similar thought or idea into his discussion on marriage and relationships in this life. And he writes, "I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short, for the form of this world is passing away." Yes, life is indeed like a scene in a play or a movie, vanishing and passing away before our eyes. Nations rise and fall, governments come and go, public men play their parts and then pass out of sight. New actors are always coming on the stage and then disappear. In fact, this is what makes the story so interesting. For the characters in a play or a movie have no idea exactly how and when it is to end. They also, we do not and cannot know when this world drama will end. The curtain may come down at any time. But this fact seems terribly frustrating to us. So many things would be interrupted. Perhaps you were going to get married this summer. Perhaps the Cardinals would win the World Series. Perhaps you were going to receive a victory or something, or a car from April 22nd. Perhaps you were finally going to ace a religious Bible test. Or perhaps you were even on the verge of passing your theological interview. Surely no wise God would be so unreasonable so as to cut all this short. Not now, as I mentioned. How often don't we think and act this way? Because we assume that we know the play, that we are sure of the purpose of this life, that we are in charge of things. After all, if anyone should know something about life, it should be us. We're nestled so comfortably behind these walls of theological limits. The fact, however, that a mere struggling, starving action, playing out our meager role, we do not know the play. We do not even know whether we are in Act 1 or Act 5. We do not know who the major and minor characters are. We do not know what type of ministry God has in store for us. We do not know which fellow seminarian will be the next Oswald Hoffman, or the next president of Senate, or God forbid, the next registrar at Concordia Seminary. And yet, so often we act as if we do. We assume that we know the play. And at times, we even attempt to rewrite the script to suit our own tastes and desires, as if actors in a play to tell the author what the story should be about. while we envision ourselves as great evangelists, not simple stewards of the mysteries of God. We have the idea that we are to help build great churches, not great churches. That we are called to be successful, not faithful. We may even feel the need to establish all kinds of little Bible study groups and prayer meetings. Conventicles, as they are called. And maybe even receive a special gospel too from the Holy Spirit, and not simply and truthfully proclaim God's word. Obviously, whereas the characters in the play have no idea exactly how it is to end, the actors playing those roles do know, for they have the author's script. They also, we too have the author's script. God's holy word, which tells us the purpose of this place, the purpose of the whole thing. In his word, in the author's place, it is his own son who is the main figure in his kingdom. He came to this world, this way of life, not merely as another actor, subject to the same selfish pride, the same ignorance of the script which infects all of us. Rather, he came to put an end to this madness of self-achievement, of personal glory. As St. Paul says, through him, the former things of this world are passing away. Our old world was played out by this suffering servant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And all of our steps in advancing design, all of our efforts to be successful as the world counts success, attempts to rewrite the script are destroyed on the cross. This is the point of the story. The purpose of this life. For in Christ, we have passed from death to life, from darkness to light, from happy to happy. At a baptism, we became part of the author's own thing. At the Lord's table, when we read and study his word, the script, we become part of the author himself, for he declares us to be sons of God because of the Son of God. And now, as sons of God, authors in this life, we indeed do know what this story of life is all about. Now we know that our sins are forgiven. Now we know that we have a new life in Christ. Now we know that we shall obtain eternal life. What is more, is that the dawn of the end of this story has already occurred on that first Easter morning. But this end of life's story is not like the end of a suspenseful drama, where merely close your books or turn off the TV or walk out of the theater and continue on our old ways. Rather, it occupies the same relationship to us as does this gospel message which we hear day after day, Sunday after Sunday. For the Lord that with you is the same Lord who came nearly 2,000 years ago. He continues to come in the Lord's Supper. He comes to us through his word. This is what Paul is giving up in his words to the Corinthians. The Christian life, the task of discipleship, means putting things in their proper perspective. Because we are passed from death to life, from authors to authors, he writes, "For now, let those who have lives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no good, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. Since God declares us authors in this life, we are to put Christ first, quickly and truthfully proclaiming this main message of the Scripture. Not that we can get married, or do evangelism, or teach Bible class, or write sermons, or look forward to April 27th, or even cheer for the Cardinals over a glass of Bud Light. But all these things, the risk of our hands are offered in this life, and now done under the lordship of Him who died for us and rose again. Oh, sure, we are still struggling, striving, and asking. But what is more important is that we have the author's gift through which the Holy Spirit enables us to live our lives with Christ coming both past, present, and future, always at the heart and center of everything we do. And may God grant us the power, the desire, and the ability to always remain faithful to this script in our future ministry. In Christ's name, Amen.